Let's turn together now in our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 15. And in John 15, we're going to be reading the first 11 verses of John 15, but also we're going to be looking in the back of our songbooks at Lord's Day 24. But first, let's read from John 15. This section is entitled The Vine and the Branches. John 15, the first 11 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And that's as far as reading in John 15. Then if you'd like to follow along for the reading of the Catechism in Lord's Day 24. That's found on page 882 in the back of our songbooks. Lord's Day 24. You'll remember that we just concluded our consideration of the Apostles' Creed last week, looking at what justification is, how our sins are imputed to Christ, his righteousness is imputed to us. Then the next question is, what are good works and what is their place? So Lord's Day 24, question and answer 62, why can't our good works be our righteousness before God, or at least a part of our righteousness? And the answer is because the righteousness which can pass God's judgment must be entirely perfect and must in every way measure up to the divine law. But even our best works in this life are all imperfect and stained with sin. How can our good works be said to merit nothing when God promises to reward them in this life and the next? And the answer is that this reward is not merited, it is a gift of grace. And finally, question and answer 64, doesn't this teaching make people indifferent and wicked? And the answer is no. It is impossible for those grafted into Christ by true faith not to produce fruits of gratitude. And you'll see that one of the proof texts there is John 15, verse 5, which we just read a moment ago. May God add the blessing of the increase upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we are going to be considering the connection between faith and works. Now, considering works, there are certain errors that need to be avoided, but that is not to say that works are unnecessary or unneeded. If someone were to ask you, what must I do in order to be saved? The answer is quite clearly, you can do nothing. There is no merit, there is no work, there is nothing that you can do. If you were to rely on yourself, there is nothing that you can perform in order to make yourself right with God. But if the question was asked this way, what must I do now that I am saved? That is a different answer. What must I do now that I am saved? To illustrate this point, children, what did you do in order to become your parents' children? What did you do to become a child in your household? Well, the answer is nothing. You did nothing. You can do nothing. You are simply born in the household, and that's what you are by your identity. But the second question is, what must you do now that you are a child in your parents' household? The answer to that question is, hopefully, you are acting, you are functioning as a living member of that household. It would be quite a wicked child who acted like they weren't a member of their household, who treated their parents like strangers. That would be a very wicked child. Well, today we are going to see that our identity, who we are in Christ, leads to a new life, how we live in Christ. So we're going to be looking at question and answers of 62 and following with Lord's Day 24 with this theme that we are saved by the works, by the merit of Jesus Christ, unto or so that we do the works of good fruit. So we are saved by the works of Jesus Christ, but we are saved unto the works of good fruit. In our first point, then, we consider the necessity of these good works. Since we are saved by grace through faith alone, the pillars of the Reformation, right? We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Why must we do good works? Why do we speak about the necessity of good works when salvation is something that has been purchased by Christ from beginning to end? If you can't, and we're going to see that in our next point, if you can't add to, and if you need not add to perfection, why do we talk about works as if they are important or necessary? Well, children, let me ask you this. When is the last time you got a good look at the roots of a living tree? When is the last time you were able to look at a tree and perceive the state of the tree by observing the root system? You can't. It's hidden. How do you know the tree is alive? You look for the leaves. You look for the fruit. In a similar way, Jesus Christ is the root system. He is the vine, our passage says in John 15. But as the roots of a tree are invisible, so faith is invisible in that sense. You cannot visibly see justification. How then are people to know that you are alive? How will they know that your heart has been changed? Well, by looking at your fruit. So we are justified by grace through faith. Salvation is a work of God from beginning to end, but it is equally important to say those who have been saved will produce the fruit that shows they have, in fact, been saved. Doing good works is not an optional addition, a nice add-on that you can take or leave. Rather, is it a vital part of our new identity? It is how those who are saved will live. The Holy Spirit sanctifies those who are justified. Now we need to make sure we understand the timing and place of these good works. Our good, holy, obedient life comes after we have been made right with God. So after we have been justified, after we have been adopted, after we've been grafted into Christ, our illustration in John 15 would say, at this point, only after we are united to Christ can we produce fruit. So good works are the necessary consequence. They are the byproduct. They are the outworking of the Spirit's presence in our hearts. And that's what Jesus is saying in John 15, verse 5. Those who abide in me will bear much fruit. He abides in me and he will bear fruit. This is the Father's will, that you abide in me and you produce good fruit. Stated negatively, if anyone does not, this is verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he will not bear good fruit. Rather, he will wither up, he will be bound and burnt. Question and answer 64 puts this in the negative as well. It is impossible, question and answer 64 says, it is impossible for those who are joined to Christ by faith, not to produce fruit. So stated positively, those joined to Christ by faith produce fruit. Negatively, it's impossible for those joined to Christ not to produce fruit. You can look at every Christian. You can interview every Christian, every believer, and you will never find one who does not have fruit. It's an impossibility. It simply will not be. Now, you can think of people who are Christians for only a short period of time, but even in that short period of time, they will be offering a sacrifice of praise. Now, if our salvation is not something that we merit, not something that we perform, why would we as Christians be motivated to perform these good works? If it doesn't change our standing with God, why would we have such a desire to do that which is pleasing to God? Well, the motivation for a Christian to do good works is a motivation of gratitude and thanksgiving. There again, speaking to the timing. After we receive the gift, then we have gratitude and thanksgiving. We come to see what Christ has done for us, and we respond by giving thanks. It's kind of a similar thing as you see in the household. Once a child understands their identity as a member of the household, they are taught to live as the truth of the matter states. You are a child, therefore you live like a child. Another reason that we do good is so that others might see our good deeds and perceive that we are, in fact, alive. It's to prove the state of our heart. Jesus says that when good proceeds from our mouth, it is a reflection of the fact that there is good in your heart. I used the illustration in our introduction about how do you discern if a tree is alive. Since you cannot see the roots, you look at the leaf and the fruit. So when other people see leaves and fruit in your lives, they are able to perceive the condition of your heart. This is Luke 6, verse 45, puts it this way. If your heart has been made good by Jesus, good will flow out of your heart. A good person brings out good treasures that are produced from a heart that is good. So the Holy Spirit, who Christ gives to his people, changes how his people think and how they live. Ephesians 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we do good works because that's what we are created to do. That's what we were created to become. Our new creation is the expressed design and purpose. We are designed. We are created new creations for the purpose of doing good. That's why Jesus leaves us here on the earth. Have you ever thought about that? Why doesn't Jesus just immediately bring us right up into heaven after we're born again Christians? Why does he leave the church on the earth? And one of the reasons is so that the church has time to grow and mature and produce mature fruit. That's why we are here, and that's why we are redeemed. We are to be zealous, Titus 2 says, zealous for doing good works. Our reading from John 15 concludes with three reasons. This to conclude our first point. Three reasons why we will be fruitful Christians. Three things to motivate us. Three consequences of obedience. The first reason we are to do good works is given in 15 verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So we have the calling or the consequence of bearing much fruit is we bring glory to God. And if it is, which it rightly should be, the desire of every Christian to bring glory to God, what is the consequence of doing good works? Bringing glory to God. That's why we will be dedicated to doing good. It's because we want God to be glorified. Second reason, we show ourselves, that's the end of verse 8, we're showing ourselves to be Jesus' disciple. Jesus said, how will they know you? They'll know you by your fruit. How will they know the church? By the way, the church loves and serves one another. So we are dedicated to doing good so that we can show the world that we are the disciples of Jesus. It's in this way that we let our light shine, by doing good. We prove ourselves to be his disciples. The final one is found in verse 11, that says this. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The previous verse is given in John 15. Jesus says, I've told you who you are as vines grafted into me, that my life-giving sap flows through you and produces fruit. The reason I've told you this is so that you might have joy and that my joy might be complete. So if we follow the line of thought Jesus is here saying, Jesus gets joy when God's people are fruitful. Jesus gets a happy heart, gladness. His heart is filled with thanksgiving when he sees his people do what they're called to do. Have you ever thought about that? Doing good brings joy, brings a smile to the face of your Savior. It fills Jesus with joy to see his church producing fruit. But it also fills the heart of his people with joy, that your joy may be complete. You, as a brother and sister in Christ, have joy that flows in your heart, that fills your heart when you are fruitful, because you see the Holy Spirit performing a work within you. When you use your gifts to serve other people, it's better to give than to receive, because you are the recipient of joy. You have joy that fills your heart when you are producing good fruit. The fact is, God's people will be dedicated to doing good for these reasons. It is impossible. It's impossible. Question answer 64 says, it's impossible for us not to produce fruit. It's impossible for God's people to be lazy or unconcerned or to be at ease with sin living in their hearts and lives. Because our greatest desire is to see God glorified. Our greatest desire is to display to the watching world that we are the disciples of Jesus. Our greatest joy is to bring joy to Jesus. That's why we are so dedicated. That's why good works are necessary, because it shows the one to whom we belong. Justification by grace through faith alone establishes the basis, but also produces the desire for good works. If you know that you are saved by grace through faith, if you know your identity as a member in the household of God, if you know that you are grafted into Jesus Christ, how can you help? You can't help it. It just comes. It's a natural part of being a follower of Christ. Good works, good fruit will be produced. Well, now that we've spent some time discussing the necessity of these works, in our second point, we'll consider the merit of these works. What do these works earn? Just as a child, the works of a child do not make that child a member of the household, but rather displays the fact they are a member of that household. In a similar way, our works do not change our standing before God. This is clearly taught by Jesus in 15 verse 4, where Jesus says this, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by himself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So the branch has a necessary place, and that's in Jesus Christ, feeding on Christ, being nourished, and his life flowing through us and in us. But if we were to rip our good works away from the context of thanksgiving, we are trying to be a branch that is taking the place of the vine. Or we're trying to become fruit that takes the place of the root. To review our point from last week when we looked at justification, being made righteous and acceptable to God is something that God does for us based on the works and merits of Jesus Christ. Our good actions, our obedience, the work that we are called to do, cannot and never will gain us a good standing and cannot be the basis of our salvation. The first reason is that the best we can do is imperfect and stained with sin. Isaiah 64 says the best that we can perform is the best that we can do. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. The best that we can perform is filthy rags. But question and answer 62 says, the righteousness that can pass God's scrutiny must be perfect. Must be absolutely perfect and free from every stain. So if the best that we can do is imperfect and stained with sin, and what is necessary is absolute perfect holiness and righteousness and obedience, then our works can never and must never be used or seen as the basis of our salvation. And this is incredibly humbling for mankind. It is so, it's a hard pill to swallow. It's rough medicine. Do you mean to tell me that my salvation is not something I can perform, but it's also something I can't add to or even supplement? That I can't do anything to make God happy in myself? That is not a comfortable place for mankind to be. We like to think, okay, Christ is good, he's necessary, but I want my little part. I want to add something to it. I want to do my part. I don't like the idea of being completely dependent on someone else, but the fact is we are. We are completely dependent on Jesus Christ. We have and we can contribute nothing. Salvation is a gift freely offered, and it is so humbling to human beings that we have nothing that we can contribute. Added to that, not only is it impossible because our works are filthy, dirty rags, it's also unnecessary. It's unnecessary for our works to help in this equation. It's unnecessary for our works to be even considered in the equation of justification. Why is that? Because the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, if his merit, if his sacrifice is, as the confessions say, of infinite worth and value, why do we as human beings think that we should add something to what is perfect and has infinite worth and value? It is unnecessary. His work is complete. When he said on the cross, "It is finished," he meant he finished it. It's done. You need not try to add anything of your works when it comes to salvation. Perfection needs not our trifling. It needs no addition. So we can't add, and we need not add, to Christ's sufficient work. But what then of the promise of reward? Remember, we're talking about good works in the context of reward. When we think of this word reward, we tend to think of merit. If we want the reward of the bonus, we work extra hard and put a few extra hours in. If we want the reward for finding something that is lost, we have the finder's fee. The concept of reward is ingrained in the human mind as something that we need to purchase, something that we need to merit. And to be absolutely fair and true, reward is a very biblical concept. Both in Isaiah 40 and Revelation 22, Jesus says, "I am coming back and I am bringing my recompense. I am bringing my reward with me." The parable in Matthew 25, Jesus tells his faithful servants, "Well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into your master's reward. Participate in the blessings of your master's favor. Come and receive what I have promised." Well, if Jesus promises to reward our good works, if he promises to reward his faithful servants, does that mean that we have therefore earned those rewards? And there's the distinction. In question answer 63, it's put this way. How can our good works be said to merit nothing when God promises to reward them in this life and in the next? The answer is, this reward is not merited. It is a gift of grace. You see, at the end of the day, when Jesus Christ comes back, he absolutely will reward his people. He will reward faithful servants. He will reward them for diligence, for faithfulness. But when Jesus rewards his people will respond like this, and that's from Luke 17. I am but an unprofitable servant. I have only done what you have enabled me to do. The parable given in Luke 17 is those servants that are given talents and they use those talents. And then the master, Jesus, comes back and he rewards faithful servants. He rewards faithful service. And the servants say, why are you rewarding me? I've only used the gift you gave me. It wasn't my talent to begin with. Your ability to do good fruits is not your human wisdom or strength that performs it. Your ability to do good fruit is something that Jesus does for you, in you. He prepares you. He equips you to do. He gives you the will and the way. So when you are faithful in doing good, you are simply using what Christ has given you to use. And you remain an unprofitable servant. So we ask ourselves, are our good works worthy of the glory that God has promised? And the answer is surely not. Our good works do not earn. Our good works are not worthy of the reward that Jesus has promised. But rather, the reward is graciously given to his children because he has promised. God is not obligated to give us anything good at all. And remember, God made us in his image. He made us perfect and he made us free from sin. God has every right to expect perfection from us. So when we begin to produce some good fruits and we begin to live in accordance with some of God's commandments, we cannot stand before God on that last day. We can't use our works as some bargaining chip with Jesus on the last day. Well, I did this for you, therefore you need to give me this. Because even our best remains as filthy rags. But God, in his grace, is pleased to reward faithful servants. He seeks to crown his own gifts. So think about the glory of this whole process. So when it comes to our salvation, Jesus purchases our justification with his sacrifice, right? We talked about that last week. Justification. His righteousness is imputed to us, credited to our account. That earns, that purchases our right to become children, to have our sins forgiven. But that doesn't end there. Jesus gives his Spirit, and by his Spirit we are sanctified. We become holy. And Jesus Christ gives us further gifts by the Spirit so that we can be diligent, that we can be faithful in our prayers, faithful giving, faithful in hospitality, and whatever gifts of the Spirit God has given to us. And when we use those gifts to do good works, once again, we are simply using the gifts that Jesus has given to us. And then Jesus, on that last day, will see his faithful servants and say to them, well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful in little. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a cup of water. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. And we're going to say, when did we do that? And Jesus will say, what you did to the least of these, you did unto me. When you served my people, you were serving me. And we're going to say, we're simply doing what you created us to do, what you enables us to do, what you called us to do. Why would you reward us? We're going to be dumbfounded at the majesty, at the great gift of grace and riches that Jesus Christ is going to give us. We're not going to earn them. We're going to say, why are you so blessing me? Why are you so gifting me with these wonderful riches? So at the end of the day, we have to say, when it comes to our salvation, justification, sanctification, and the gifting, glorification. That's a work of God from beginning to end. At no point in our salvation can we say, I did it myself. It was all a gift of grace. To conclude, understanding the timing, the necessity, and place of good works helps us understand how the reward might be a gift of grace. Good works are those things that are done. This is a review later on in the catechism. We'll get to this. Good works are those that are done in obedience to God's commandments. They proceed from a heart of faith, and they are done in thankfulness to the praise of God's glory. We are motivated by thanksgiving when our hearts are born again and we are living it by faith. We can and do, every one of us here, when we are Christians, we do perform good works. These good works are not something which are reserved only for the super spiritual and the super holy. When we obey God's commandments, that was one of the requirements. If you have a heart of faith, that was the second requirement. If you're doing it for God's glory, that's the third requirement. So what do you do in this next week? What can you do, assuming that you have a heart of faith, assuming you're doing it to God's glory? How can you live in accordance with the commandments? Well, children, one thing you can do is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Did you know that obeying your parents is good fruit, is good works? When we seek, as older members, when we seek to be a blessing to others, when we use our tongues to be seasoned with salt and full of grace, building other people up, when we're faithful as a spouse, when we refrain from the lustful looks and thoughts, when we dedicate ourselves, our bodies, our spare time to the glory of God and chastity and holiness. Students, when we're diligent and submitting and obeying at school, using our time wisely. Employees, employers, when we're faithful in the context of the work world. Whatever you do in this next week, wherever you're called to be, you can be a fruitful tree, because you've been grafted into Christ. And Christ says, those who are grafted in me produce fruit. You don't need to wait till you're older. Right now, you're grafted in Christ, you'll produce fruit. And the Word of God prepares us and equips us so that we might know how to perform and how to do these God-honoring works. As our theme stated, we are saved by the works. We're saved by the works of Jesus Christ. That's how we are saved. But we are saved unto the work of good fruit. So as you depart this night, keep your eyes open for opportunities to produce fruit in this next week. And everyone here will have opportunities. How can you serve in the context of the home, in the context of a marriage, in the context of a parent-child, in the context of talking to whoever you meet? How can you bring glory to God with a heart of thanksgiving because of all that Christ has done for you, producing fruit because you are a living branch, and living branches produce fruit because they're grafted into Jesus Christ. And when you're grafted to Christ, you will live and you will grow and you will produce fruit. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful encouragement, reminding us of our identity in Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are united to him, that he lives in us and we live in him. We do pray that we would remain in Christ and that we would continue to produce fruit as it is your will. That apart from you, we can do nothing, but in you, we will be fruitful. Help us throughout this next week, O Lord, to be fruitful Christians, to live in accordance with your commandments, with joyful hearts, doing whatever we're called to do to the praise of your glory with hearts of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.